this evening. Listen, if you ain't shouted, it ain't God's fault. I mean, there's been enough God already in this place to turn the world upside down. And I've seen some of you, you want to shout, but you just won't let it out. If you'll go ahead, you'll feel better. I tell people all the time, when we go to heaven and you start shouting, I'm going to look over at you and say, I told you, is that good all along? Amen. Glory. Mark chapter 2. If you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was what?
Noise
that he was in the house. I believe we've experienced a little bit of that tonight.
Amen.
It was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them.
Amen.
Isn't that good? And he preached. As a matter of fact, he's my favorite preacher.
Yeah.
He preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, the Bible says. And when they came unto him, we find bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, listen, I've preached on this several times throughout my ministry. The Bible does not tell us these men's name.
Right.
We just know that they're men. I believe when I think about them, I think that's love, mercy, grace, and hope.
Yeah.
I think that's their names. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. Boy, I like that. We're going to get in one way or another. When you make up your mind, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. When you make up your mind, you're going to get to him. The wall can't stop you. The people can't stop you. The building can't stop you. The roof can't stop you. You're going to get to him, amen. And when they had broken it up, sometimes you got to break some things up to get to where you're going. And they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay when Jesus saw their faith. Now listen, you've heard some people say, well, you'd have been healed if you'd had the faith. You ever heard people say that? Boy, I have. Well, if you didn't have the faith, then it's your fault. Sometimes we don't have the faith to pray for ourselves. My great uncle Leonard, he used to say, you know what, when you're the one in need of prayer, it's a whole lot harder to pray and have the faith.
Amen.
That's why God has given us a heavenly family.
Amen.
Because we care one for another. When one has a burden, we all shed a tear and rejoice in each victory with this family so dear.
Yes.
Sometimes, Brother Black, well, it's up to me to pray for you to help you get to where you're going.
Amen.
And so we find when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there. There's always that religious crowd.
Yeah.
Well, let me go ahead and say this. I don't want to hear about your religion.
Come on.
That's right.
I don't care about your religion.
Right.
I don't care. Matter of fact, I used to be eat up by legalism. It don't bother me. Somebody get up here and preach in a t-shirt. If they're preaching the word of God, I'm all right with it. Now, we can hold on to some things if we want to. Ain't nothing wrong wearing a suit. That's my preference. But these other people don't have that preference. And if I'm taking my preference over the doctrine of the Word of God, then I am in error. Hallelujah. Some of y'all sitting there thinking about that, but you'll shout later. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He's the only one that can forgive sin.
Amen.
Let me put it in park there a minute and say the Pope has no hope without Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
There was a woman one time that was dying, and the hospital called for a priest to come by, and the priest come by, and he stood over her, and he prayed, and he said, your sins are forgiven. She said, sir, she couldn't open her eyes. And she said, Can I feel your hands? And he stuck his hand over there. She felt and she said, you're a preposter.
Come on.
You can't forgive my sins. The only one that can forgive my sins is the one that has nail prints in his hands. Hallelujah. But ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick and the palsy, I say unto thee, arise. Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And the Bible says again, and immediately he arose, took up the bed. He didn't need any medication. He didn't need physical therapy. All of a sudden, he's healed and went forth before them all insomuch that they were all amazed. All of them were amazed and glorified God, saying, I like this part. We never saw it on this fashion. We never seen it like this. Oh, Lord, help us. We just ain't never seen it like that. I feel the Holy Ghost crawling up all over me right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope we walk out of this place tonight and we say, I have never seen it on this fashion. Matter of fact, I hope you embarrass yourself tonight. When you really praise the Lord, you know what? That embarrasses your flesh, and the reason why some people don't get up, and why they don't shout out, and why they don't cry, make that ugly cry face like I make, and why they don't wave their hands is because they don't want to embarrass themselves. And the flesh is saying, don't do that. The flesh was saying to these four men, don't go on the roof. The flesh was saying to that man that was on that bed, tell him to stop. Tell them to stop. Matter of fact, those scribes that were sitting there, they were all about the flesh. It ain't right. What's going on? That man ain't right. This ain't right. I can see some religious woman that's in there. She just had her hair done down here at the beauty parlor in Lancaster. Bless God, had that hair teased up like it was the 80s. And she's getting ready for a big outing with family reunion. And some of that mud and dirt fall down in her hair. And she is upset.
Yeah.
And then I can look on the other side of the aisle inside where Jesus was and why they're there. And one old saint of God, kind of like Stacy Beam's mama, just shouting, throwing her arms around. And I mean just praising God. She don't care if the roof falls off. She don't care if the walls fall down. She's just there to shout it out. She just wants somebody to get to Jesus. She wants somebody to get. I can see that woman shout. Why she don't care about her flesh. Tonight you ought to make up your mind already. I'm going to embarrass my flesh tonight. I said they, some of you ought to make up your mind. I'm going to embarrass my flesh tonight. You ought to throw your hands up and shout victory. Thank God for his blessings. And just say, hey, I'm going to be a part of that crowd. Woo. I'm feeling spiritual. Tonight, for a little while, I want to preach to you a message God gave me some while ago on this title. That's my crowd. Kind Jesus, we love you. Bless the reading of your word. Save those that are lost tonight. And God, I pray you break the chains, Lord, that are holding some back. And God, we'll glorify and we'll magnify your name for what you do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, God, and all God's people shouted.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated if you can tonight. You know, when I look around the world, there's different crowds. I think about in the Bible, there's different crowds. Even with the Jewish race, there are different sects of people, and they divide themselves from the crowd that they may differ in what they believe. When you look at the Jews, you see the Pharisees, you see the Sadducees, you see the Herodians, the Essenes, the Zealots. I mean, there's all kinds of different groups of people in every part of religion. Have you ever thought about the Baptist? Have you ever thought about the Baptist and the Baptist? I mean, you got the Independent Baptist, General Baptist, you got the Fundamental Baptist, you got the Irritated Baptist, you got the Fundamental Baptist, you got the Liberal Baptist, you got every kind of Baptist. Reminds me of this feller, he went up the road and he come to this first church and it said Vision Baptist Church. He went on up the same road and it said Greater Vision Baptist Church. He went on up a road and it said No Vision Baptist Church. Amen. I'm telling you, even in a part in North Georgia over there, I go down one road called Salem Road. And I'm telling you what, my brother right here can tell you, they Salem 1, Salem 2, Salem 3. You go on down the road, they Friendship 1, Friendship 2, Friendship 3. I'm telling you what happened. They tore Jesus into pieces.
Yeah.
For those of you that know me or follow me or listen to me, you know that I am a kingdom guy. I'm a kingdom preacher. I was born into the Free Will Baptist. I didn't have a choice. But ladies and gentlemen, what I see on the forefront of this world for us to be able to make the difference that needs to be made, the churches are going to have to work together. Well, now, some of y'all didn't get that. Let me back up again. I know that you've been hurt by that church, and I know that you've been frustrated with that pastor down the road, and I know that you've left here and gone there, but all you did was pick up your problems and take them somewhere else. That's what you did. Now listen, we're looking for revival tonight. Boy, I like that. I'm getting some help back there. It says, preach, preacher, back there on that wall. That's encouraging right there. Hallelujah. Listen, could you imagine if the Baptist and the Pentecostal and the assemblies all come together and said, you know what, it's time in this country that we begin to lift up the name of Jesus again together and watch what God could do. You know the enemy hates that. The Bible says in Psalms 133 and verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what?
Unity.
Dwell together in?
Unity.
Dwell together in?
Unity.
All of my life I have been taught by my daddy. My daddy's not a pastor. He's not a preacher. But he was a Bible reader. He was a prayer warrior. My daddy is a quiet man. But my daddy loves God. And my daddy loves the church. And my daddy's a veteran. He loves America. My daddy would take me out in the woods. And he would take me out there and set me down. He'd pray. Sometimes I'd pray and sometimes I'd just watch him thinking I wished he'd hurry up.
Yeah.
You got to understand something. His uncles was Paul Mayfield, Leonard Mayfield, and Buddy Mayfield. Two Free Will Baptists, one Pentecostal preacher. And let me tell you something. When they prayed, you're going to be there a while. There was one old Baptist preacher that would come down, Verlin Martin. When Verlin Martin came to the church, every one of us boys at church would say, dear God. I mean, you talk about praying, we'd say, dear God. Yeah, they'd get ready to close that service out. Dear God, please don't let them call on Verlin Martin. If Verlin Martin got called on to pray, yeah. Honey, I'm telling you, he'd pray longer than the preacher preached. That man prayed for everybody. And let me tell you something. I didn't understand it then. I didn't appreciate it then. But that old man of God would stand there and tremble and tears would run off his cheeks. When he prayed heaven down. I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. Ladies and gentlemen, you see what's going on in the political world over the years, how there is division. I understand there's some things I can't agree with and I can't go with anymore in politics. I'm not saying that. And even in the church, there's some churches that are ordaining homosexuals and they have gone another way that is against the word of God. I'm not saying that we can team up with them. What I can say is, here's the standard. Come over here. And when we all come to the standard, which is the word of God, we will see God move in this country like never before. Hallelujah. Some of y'all sitting there tonight, I don't know about this. Oh, get on board. You know what? You know what the writer of Psalms 133 said? Said that it's like the oil upon Aaron's head that ran down his beard down to the skirts of his garments. Praise God, whenever you get under the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost and the unction of the Holy One is upon a man, you remember this, he bought our minds to think for him. Whenever that unction rolls on down, it's on our head and then it gets down over our heart. He bought our hearts to love for him and then it gets on our hands, and thank God he bought our hands to work for him. Praise God to pray in the name of the Lord. Then it goes on down and it gets on our heels and he bought us to walk for him. I'm telling you, I want to think for him. I want to work for him. I want to love for him. I want to walk for him. And when the church of the living God in these last days, he's wanting to pour out his anointing. And when you get anointed, you'll get appointed and God will do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. You know why we don't see healings? Because we don't believe. Brother, stand up right now. And here's something that don't happen in the church anymore. As loud as you can, brother, I want you to tell this church what God did for you last night. And then we give God glory. See, when God touches us, we can't be ashamed. We got to stand up and name it and proclaim it and tell somebody else, because there's somebody else in the house that's looking for hope, that's looking for love, that's looking for mercy, that's looking for grace. Somebody is there for in the house that will say, I'm part of that crowd. Hallelujah. Woo! In our text, they gathered together. Jesus was in their midst. When we gather together, good things will happen. Amen. Great things will happen. And then godly things will happen. Only he can get the glory. I begin to think about this crowd, some things about this crowd. Number one, they're a precious crowd. Yeah. You're precious. Look to your neighbor right now and say, you're precious. Ma'am, you're supposed to look at your husband. Some of you fellas looked at that other feller and said, you're precious. We're going to pray here in a minute. It's a precious crowd. In Isaiah 43 and verse 4 says, thou was precious in my sight. Precious, hallelujah. Boy, I began to think about that precious. Did you know to be precious? To be called precious, somebody had to give something precious for it. Over 2,000 years ago, out of the glories of heaven, thank God, the greatest thing in the universe that could be given was the red, royal, rich blood of the begotten of the Father. Bless God, he was God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And praise God, whenever the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and the blood of birds and the bloods of lambs had run out, there was one lamb slain before the foundation of the world that said, Father, I'm willing to go. And praise God for every dirty, rotten sin that we ever committed. He looked down through the sands of time and he saw Stacy Beam when Stacy Beam was on drugs and a drinking and a drugging and a running the roads. God looked down on the cross and he said, I love him. Oh, he don't look like much to the world. Oh, but Jesus said he's precious to me. Thank God, Brother Mitch, out there when you was in the world, when you was away from God and you was living it up, oh, there wasn't nothing precious about you. But let me tell you something. God looked down through the time and he saw you, and what the world saw as impure, God saw as a pastor and a preacher and a husband and a daddy. Thanks be unto God. Aren't you glad that God looked down through time and saw you? This young man right here, he found out his daddy wasn't his daddy, and he got on drugs as a young teenager, and for 7 years he was on methamphetamine. But you know what? God looked down from the cross when the devil was going to take him to hell and said, no, sir. He saw something special. He saw something precious. He saw a patrolman on the side of the road, shot and died. And the devil looked at him as garbage. But Jesus said, no, he's precious. And God saw you, Mitch, out there on that ball field, a cussing and a drinking and a living like a devil. But you know what he saw? He saw something precious. I'm telling you tonight, everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a testimony. Everybody, thank God, can say, I was precious in his sight. Somebody give God praise in the house of God tonight. Oh, I run from him. But I couldn't outrun the precious blood of the Lamb. He tracked me down. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Precious. Not only are we a precious crowd, but thank God we're a powerful crowd. In John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Did you hear that? Even to them that believe. Why, there's a powerful crowd, Brother Kenny. But after that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. You shall be witnesses. And Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I always thought Robbinsville was the uttermost part of the earth. Until I got to study in the uttermost part of the earth is a little community. Anybody know where that is? The furthest part from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is considered to be the centerpiece of civilization. And the furthest part from Jerusalem is a little community called Christchurch in New Zealand. You think that's an accident? No. I'd make a Presbyterian kick the back out of his robe tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Christ's church. And you know what? That confuses the devil. And ever since Genesis chapter 3, whenever God said, you may bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. And thank God the devil's had brain damage ever since that day. Praise be unto God. I'm glad that I'm a part of Christ's church that's been purchased with the blood. And we have power. That first church, that 120 that got plugged into the 220 of heaven, they didn't have a plane. They didn't have a laptop, Chromebook. They didn't have an Apple phone. They didn't have a bus. They didn't have an airline. They didn't have a cruise, a ship. No, thank God they didn't even have the internet, honey. But I'll tell you what they did have. They had the Holy Ghost resting on them. And when you got the Holy Ghost, thank God, you got the power to overcome the enemy. Hallelujah. You want to know why we're not having, one of the reasons why we're not having our young people flock to the church of God anymore? I'm talking about the church. I'm going to tell you why. Because mom and daddy don't believe in the power no more. They don't see mom and daddy in their Bible. They don't see them on their knees. They don't go out to the woods and pray anymore. They very seldom go to church. They don't see the power. And that's why they're looking into pornography. That's why they're looking into drugs and alcohol. That's why they're looking into premarital sex. And that's why they're looking into transgenderism. Oh, don't shout me down tonight. Bless God, I can preach all night long. Listen, that's why they're looking into homosexuality. You know why? Because they've not seen the real power of God in anybody in their life. We need the power. I'm going to preach plumb out the back door. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in this day. It was the Holy Spirit that got a hold of me, that changed me from the inside out. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that changed every single person that's in here. If you've been saved, it's because you got convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. No man can come to the Father, except my spirit draw him. But aren't you glad that you've been changed from who you were? Thanks be unto God. If you've seen who I was before, I'm I'm sure you would agree. But he never once ever gave up on me. The power of God. Not only that, I also see they're a praying crowd. I can't help but go here, but I grew up, I done told about Daddy, but listen, Uncle Leonard, he lived in prayer. Roger Duncan said this. He said, he's the only man, Chris, that I've ever known in my entire life that stayed in a constant state of revival. How'd he do that? He spent hours a day in prayer. I didn't know this till recently, but a man told me that Uncle Leonard told him and said, unless you pray 4 hours a day, you ain't praying. I thought, boy, I ain't been praying. I'll never forget one time I was going through something, Tim. Pastor Tim is a pastor and as a preacher, and I knew I could always go to Uncle Leonard. And I went to his little apartment, apartment 31. I knocked on that door, and he said, you know, he couldn't see, and he'd say, who is it? Oh, pastor, come on in here. Hugged me up real good. And I began to say, listen, Uncle Leonard, I really need help. I need God right now. And let me tell you something. That man that had fractures in his back, that man that could not see, he laid his hands on me and he began to pray. And when he began to pray, he tapped into heaven. And let me tell you something. It knocked me on my face on the floor, face down. And it felt like a jolt of lightning went through my body because that man had the power of God on him. You might say, I don't believe in that. You don't know my crowd. Oh, I've seen some strange things. Never seen it on that fashion. I've seen things. I'll tell you a little bit more in a minute, but there's my crowd's been a praying crowd. When you get over in Acts chapter 12, you'll find in Acts chapter 12 that James has already been beheaded, and now Peter's been arrested. He's next in line, but they're going to wait a little while till after Easter before he turns them over to the people, because it was that unleavened bread feast time. It was right after Passover, the next day. Passover, the 14th of Nisan. And then the 15th of Nisan, we have that feast of unleavened bread for a week. And let me tell you, he's locked up. The Bible says he's in prison. He's between two guards. Let's name them the flesh and the devil. The Bible then says he had two chains on him. Let's name those chains, fear and doubt. Have you ever seen a time where fear and doubt is plaguing God's people today? God's people are locked up. I mean, was Peter saved? It's after Pentecost. Yeah, whether you thought he was saved then or saved before. Listen, he's locked up. You can look at that also a spiritual application there, physical and spiritual. He's locked up. He's in prison. You got the two guards. You got the two chains. But all of a sudden, if you go back and read it, I ain't got time to go there, but the church was praying steadfastly for him. Everybody say the church. The church was praying. Without ceasing, they were praying. They were gathered together over at Mary's house, John Mark's mother, and they were praying that God, boy, I feel God, he's going to get him or help him. And I'm telling you, here's what God give me. I'm just going to give it to you. And all of a sudden, while they're praying, they're asking God to do something. The light shines in the prison. Smoke Peter on the side, read it, give him spiritual appendicitis. Can I get an amen? Come on. He gets up, chains fall off. The flesh and the devil's asleep. Angels there, says, come on, follow me. Walked by the first ward, second ward, came to the big iron gate. And God already had a motion sensor. When y'all get time, read this and write out me a good sermon and I'll preach it. And it says Peter came to himself. Have you ever done things in the spirit? And then you came to yourself and thought, what in the world? What has gone on? I've done that a many a time preaching. Look here, and he goes over. And he goes to Mary's house. Knocks on the door. A little teenage girl named Rhoda comes to the door. Recognizes his voice. Goes back and tells the church it's praying, hey, it's Peter. You know what they said? They said, oh, that's just his angel. The church. This blows my mind. I mean, this is fresh, y'all. We ain't but 10 chapters past Pentecost. And the church, who had seen thousands upon thousands saved and miracles take place, was there praying for him to be set free. But yet whenever they got word, they said, that's his angel, which means this, he's dead. The church didn't believe. But they were still practicing prayer. Unbelievable, isn't it? Think about it. Who does that remind you of? We pray for things as the church, but many times we forget that we're precious and we have the power. Well, we forget. That's why it's good. That's why I had my brother stand up and proclaim what God did for him, because everybody needs somebody to give them something positive once in a while. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody needs grace and hope and faith and mercy. Everybody needs it. And you know what I've also found out? I found that we're a persecuted crowd. In 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But you know what I found out? You try to feed us to a lion, and we'll use old Leo for a pillow. You try to drown us, we'll walk on the water. You try to boil us in oil, we'll make fried chicken. Somebody shout amen. Praise be unto God. Listen to me tonight. We're going to suffer some persecution. We might be thrown in the fire. But I'm glad the fourth man will always show up in your fire. He's there for you. He's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not forsaking you. And thank God, what are you saying, preacher? That's my crowd. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Let me give you three little quick points. We'll be done. They're a loving crowd. They love people. Even people the world won't love. They love them. How do we know we've passed from life into death? Because we love the brethren. Man, I love people. I even love sinners, and I don't like them. Hey, a lot of them I don't like. I don't like what they do. I don't like how they talk. Matter of fact, if I was the president of the United States of America, which I know all of you would vote me over who's in there right now. Amen. But I'm telling you, you know what I'd do? There's a lot I would do. But let me just tell you one thing that's current. I would do some cleaning up on the streets right now. And everybody that said death to America and death to Israel, I'd give them an opportunity to repent. And if they didn't repent, then we'd get one of them big old jumbo jets and we'd cuff every one of them, put them on there, take them back over to Iran, give them one more chance, love them, tell them, hey, Jesus loved you. But if they said, death to America, death to Israel, drop them out there and give them a bottle of water in Iran, put the key out there for them and say, here you go, this is what you want. You might say, that's mean. No, it ain't mean. I mean, that's getting rid of the problem. And I think I think that if the American government started stepping up and following God, it'd solve a lot of the problems we got going on. It would. Now, when I think about this loving crowd, I ain't trying to be mean. I wouldn't be mean. I'd love on every one of them. But let me tell you something. Every veteran, would you please stand up in the house of God tonight? Every veteran, would you stand? Now, church, I want you to look around. These men right here serve this country that we might be able to have freedom, have this camp meeting revival, be able to have our Bible. I thank every one of you for serving this country and loving this country. Oh, my. See, we got to love people, but we don't have to like what they're doing. You ever heard that? Love the sinner, hate the sin? Have you ever thought about yourself, though? I mean, spiritually, I've acted like them people out in the street. I'm just being honest. And you know what I've learned about, Preacher Mitch, you know what I've learned about God? Love puts up with a lot of inappropriate behavior. Amen. I got my youngest boy, I already told you he was serious as a cocked gun, but people would talk to him at church, and he'd just look at them. And he'd go, and say, what's wrong with him? And Crystal would make some up excuse, you know. And Preacher Thad would come up there, hey, Coulter, how you doing? Just look at him and go. You want to know why that we didn't beat the brakes off that youngin'? Because we love him. We're trying to teach him. And see, the Holy Spirit loves us through things.
Amen.
Amen.
Whenever we're ugly, we say things we shouldn't say, we mistreat people. I know none of y'all in Lancaster ever do none of that.
Preach on. Preach.
There's times we all do. We all act in an inappropriate way. Sometimes we'll get mad at God. You ever been mad at God? It didn't help you none, but you got mad at him. I've been mad at God before. God, why has this happened? It's okay for you to ask him because he's your father. He loves you. See, whenever we think about God putting up with us, I cannot help but think about, and I was going to preach on it, but I preached on it on Sunday morning. I preached on it last Friday. I think about the book of Hosea. And in the book of Hosea, Hosea means deliverer or savior. And Gomer means complete. And God uses this preacher, this prophet, who is told to marry a prostitute as a picture of God's love for the nation of Israel. Man, I'm telling you what, I got convicted in studying that because I have run down Gomer all my life. And in studying that, God said, that's you. All the while we were chasing idols and chasing the flesh can become an idol. If you don't believe that, just read Romans chapter 1. And when it becomes an idol and we're chasing it, all that time, stay with me a moment and just picture this. Listen, all that time while Gomer was shacked up with other men,
come on,
Hosea was coming to her door and making sure she had bread and milk and water.
Come on.
He sustained her even in a time of adultery. And thank God as we've walked through the valleys of our lives and we've chased the flesh and we've followed the devil and we've tried to do things our own way and lived in idolatry, you know what Jesus did? Jesus just kept coming to where you was and standing on the front porch of your soul and giving you provision for you to get by. And you know what? You didn't want to go to that door. You didn't want to answer that door. You knew who was on the other side of that door. You didn't even want to look through the peephole, but there you was. He sustained you in the wilderness of your life, in your suffering. He still loved you through it. Amen. May some of you here tonight, and you didn't want to come. And you thought, man, if I go, Brother Chris, he's going to preach right up my cornrow. He's going to make me feel bad. It ain't me. It's the one that you won't open that door and let him in. Have you ever figured out in Revelation when he said in chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock? You want to know why? It's because the church kicked him out. Locked the door, didn't want him in. Oh, but if we'll just open that doorknob's on the inside, by the way. Just let him in. Hallelujah. Let me come to a close. Listen, there's a patriotic love. That's the love that we have for our country. I love America. There's a personal love, a love one has for another that I just spoke about. There's a parental love that we have for our children. There's a pure love. It's an unconditional love. God loves us unconditionally. You know, when it comes to God's love, he doesn't say, I love you if. He just says, I love you. There's no mental restrictions. If there were, I probably wouldn't get in. There are no moral restrictions. You cannot do so much bad that God will not forgive you. Some of you may not know this, but George W. Truett, who is one of the greatest pastors in American history, is from Hayesville, North Carolina. He's the only other pastor outside of myself that started a Christian school in Clay County. George W. Truett was one of the first pastors in America to start using radio as a means to spread the gospel. He had a radio program, and one morning he turned to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be made as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they should be made white as snow. And when he read that, there was a little nurse out of his church that had a little woman that was sitting there and dying. She asked that nurse, would your pastor come visit me? She said, well, I'm sure he would. He's a nice man. She said, he's a holy man. Well, afterwards, that nurse went and talked to Dr. Truett and said, there's a woman dying. Would you go see her? You know what he did? He went to see her. He come and he went in and he seen that woman. He stuck out his hand to shake hands with her. And she stuck her hands up under the sheet. And he said, ma'am, I thought you wanted me to come see you. She said, I did, but I can't shake hands with you. You're a holy man. I'm an unholy woman. He said he felt uncomfortable and all that he knew to do, Pastor Tim, was just drop down beside the bed and he began to pray. And during that prayer, you know what he quoted? That same text, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as wool. And be red like crimson, they shall be made white as snow. And all of a sudden, that woman said, shake hands with me. Right in the middle of the prayer. And he said, I thought you didn't want to shake hands. She said, I just had a blood bath. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, there's no material restrictions. So my crowd's a loving crowd. My crowd is also a loud crowd. Amen. It was noised that he was in the house. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, wake up. It's getting ready to get good. And Acts chapter 3 and verse 2, Peter and John is on their way to the temple to pray. And as they're going that way, here is a man that was lame outside the gate called Beautiful, which lets us know there's some ugly things that can take place in beautiful places. And all of a sudden, Peter remembers that day whenever, oh, glory. Peter remembers that day whenever he is walking on the water and he said, Lord, save me. Jesus reached down with his right hand, the strong arm of the Lord, and lifted him up. And they walked together in the boat. And all of a sudden, Peter fastened his eyes on that man that was crippled and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And when he said that, praise God, that crippled man got up. And you know what he did? He embarrassed his flesh.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, my goodness. When's the last time you went walking and leaping and praising God? Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen to me tonight. We have something to shout about. We're the crowd that ought to be loud. Instead of the world being louder than us, there's only a small percentage that's pushing things in this country and in this world when the church of the living God ought to stand up, speak up, and if we do, they can't lock us up. Amen? Woo! In Luke 18:43, there was a blind man that receives his sight, and the Bible said that he glorified God. That means he celebrated his miracle. When's the last time you celebrated your miracle? Glory. Let's move a little further. In Revelation 4, you'll find that God begins to speak. In Revelation chapter 11, he said, I heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Come up hither. And you know, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that, and the seventh angel in verse 15 sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. What are you saying? We're a loving crowd. We're a loud crowd, but we're a leaving crowd.
Amen. Amen.
1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that ain't the Free Will Baptist, shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
And he said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We're a leaving crowd. And I got to thinking about how it gets loud and people that love. And I'll never forget when I was a little boy. Some of y'all may have heard me tell this before, but I was a little boy, and I remember. How many of y'all remember Coleman Looper? Y'all remember Coleman Looper? Out of Rickman, Tennessee, he's with the Lord now. I remember taking a bus trip. Preacher Mitch was coming to Nashville one day, and he was in about an 86 Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck. And that old man talked to me all the way out. I felt like I was a king. Man, he could sing and play that Yamaha guitar like you ain't never heard. But I'll never forget the first time when he was a young man before his hair was white. I was a little boy. Bucky, while I was there, when I was a little boy, I remember going in Bethabara Baptist Church. Matter of fact, I don't even know if they knew they were Baptist or not. Bethabara Church. And there'd be people come in that little white church up there off of Shooting Creek. You don't want to know how it got its name. But I remember that church was packed out. And that church was packed out, and I remember that I was sitting in the windowsill of that church. Windows up, they didn't have no air conditioning. And I remember sitting in the back of that church in that windowsill, windows open. And that was the first time in my life as a little boy I heard an electric guitar. Church ain't had power very long. And all of a sudden, they hit some notes on that guitar, and I thought, my Lord, what is that? That sounds good. It got my attention. And all of a sudden, old Coleman rung off on that acoustic guitar, and I heard of electric bass, and they did a bass run. And Stevie, let me tell you something, had drums. I thought those were illegal in churches. And all of a sudden, while I was sitting there, there was some women that had voices like angels. I'm sitting back there in that window sill, and all of a sudden they run out, and I'm talking about my crowd. Now, this is my kind of crowd right here. And all of a sudden, they hit that note, and that woman said, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." I said, "My goodness." I mean, I'm telling you, I perked up real quick. I'd had something on it. Then I heard that thump, 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 thump. And buddy, that band kicked in. "You can take me down to the graveyard. You can lay my body down. But on that resurrection, Lord, I'm going to come up out of that ground. Cause there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down." Let me tell you something. I'm sitting in that windowsill, y'all. I'm sitting there. I'm in the back. I got God bumps, and I don't know what they are. Every time that bass had hit, the walls were shaking. The floor was going up and down. I'm telling you, I ain't seen nothing like it now. I mean everybody in that place. And I seen some of them old women. And I'm telling you what, they had that, Some, they had that Pentecost, pow! I mean, snap that neck back. They had, you know what I'm talking about, Kermit? Had the hair up high in them. What do you call them things? I don't even know. Beehive. They didn't have a stitch of makeup on. I mean, that hair was up, looked like the Tower of Babel. They had them bobby pins in there. And honey, as soon as they hit that chorus one more time, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down," you talk about dancing and shouting. And I mean, head bobbing, pins flying. I mean, that place went wild. What was it? It was noise that it was in the house. I'm sitting in that windowsill. I look out behind me, and there's a graveyard, cemetery. I'm looking to the stage. I'm looking at the graveyard, and I'm thinking, Lord, it's getting ready to happen right now, right here in the windowsill. Now, here's the thing about it, y'all. I had heard so much preaching in my life. I had heard it read in my ears that I really believed that Jesus was coming back on that day. And you know what? Here I am, just shy of 50, with the same faith as I did when I was a little boy. Matter of fact, when they was up there singing a minute, y'all come on right now, when they were up there singing a minute ago, I felt the same power. It could happen right now. You know what? I heard them singing. I thought, that's my crowd. Man, I'm sitting right here next to my buddies, and I'm thinking, that's my crowd. Man, I'm looking over here. That's my crowd. I'm looking over here. That's my crowd. I turn around every once in a while. You know, when I turn around, I'm doing like this, and I'm pointing like, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, you're my crowd. Thank God we're together. Hallelujah. Brother Donald, one of these days, we're going home. Yeah. It can be now. And when we do, there'll be no more cancer. Yeah. There'll be no more back pain. Yeah. There'll be no more crippled limbs. Yeah. And you know what's going to happen? My crowd is going to rule the universe with the Lord. We'll be kings and priests because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Honey, I'm telling you tonight, it's real. And it's real. It's real. And if you don't have him, come on, get in my crowd tonight. He won't. you. He went to the cross where you could get into the crowd that's going to heaven. I know we did some hard plowing a few minutes ago to get to where we're at. Jason, God brought you out of cancer, son. And he wants to do something with your life. How many other people's overcome? I know, Chris, you have. How many others tonight you've overcome cancer in the house? You've overcome it. God's not done with you yet, ma'am. God's not done with you. Sir, I know you're battling cancer right now. God ain't done with you. God ain't done with you. If there was four in this house tonight, that would say, hey, I'm going to come get Jesus for somebody. They might take up their bed and walk tonight. Let's don't be like that church that was praying and didn't believe it when it happened. No, let's make a difference. Let's be the crowd in the pages of history of the church. Let's be the crowd that says, not anymore. No, when I pray, I'm believing. When I pray, I'm believing. I'm going to believe. I'm going to be what God wanted me to be. And you know what I'd like to say? I'd just like to see for this week's out that people just can't even get in. Can't even get in the church because people have come in to see what God is going to do through his crowd. As we bow our heads tonight.